Testing, can you hear me? Okay, all right. Good afternoon, everyone. All right, please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 6.
The book of Luke, chapter 6. In your bulletin, you'll find there on the inside the longer passage, Luke chapter 6, verse 26 through 36. So let's read that together. It's 10 verses, and usually I try to explain all of the verses that we read together, but this time we're going to focus on a specific phrase or specific word from the text. But it's good to read the context when you study a text. So here's what we'll do. I'll start from verse 27, and then please join me at verse 35. Let me begin. Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 27. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect payment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. Let's read together from verse 35. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. This is the very words of Jesus. Amen. Well, so there are four key words in the season of Christmas. The key words are peace, hope, joy, and love. And around the world, in the season of Christmas, all the churches around the world spend 1 month to focus on these four great themes. So, 3 weeks ago, we meditated and looked at the word peace and its meanings. Peace, if you remember, is not only the absence of conflict, but also it is the presence of friendship. It's not only no war, but it is also partnership. Cooperation, that's peace. Now, the next week after that, we looked at hope. And if you remember, hope is not only passively waiting and expecting, but hope is actively spreading good expectation. Therefore, if you cause someone to look forward to something, by your kindness, by your goodness, that you put some kind of good expectation into someone. That is living actively in hope. You're spreading hope. Okay, so the two remaining words for Christmas season are joy and love. But we're going to flip it, and today we're going to meditate on love. And next week, which is Christmas Sunday, we're going to look at joy, okay? Because Christmas should be a joyful day, right? So next week will be joy. Today will be love. Now, the problem with love in English is the meaning of love is so big that it can lose its power. For in English, you can say, I love pizza. And it's true. I love pizza so much. Costco pizza, it's only 2,000 yen for a very big piece. It feeds my family, which is 8 people, very cheaply. So I love pizza. Now, I also love my mother. Now, if I love my mother the same way that I love pizza, that's bad news for my mother, okay? So the problem of love, the word, is that the meaning is so big that it can lose its power, right? So it's important to understand what the Bible says about love. And the Bible says the greatest evidence that you can find of love, the greatest way to know that you have love is if you love your enemies. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, please open your eyes. Raise your head. Look. Okay? Yeah, this is not an easy thing. Okay? You can come to church and you can say, all for Jesus, all for love. Thank you for the love. And you can call your relatives on the phone or talk to them on the video and say, arigato, I love you, all of that. No. The Bible says if you can treat your enemy the same way that you treat yourself, your spouse, your friend, your partner, that's how you know love is in you. Okay? That's the goal line. That's our finish line today. Okay? But we have a little bit of explanation. Okay? So here's the good news. All right? You understand that Chris, on my best day, I can keep evil just outside the door. I know there's darkness and evil and pain and it's trying to enter my life. It's trying to enter my heart. And on my best day, I can just push it. Just say, this far, no more. The darkness is trying to come, but I have enough power. And then, if you're honest, you say, Pastor Chris, on my worst days, on my normal day, the evil just rushes. It comes, it punches, it kicks, it has a big gun and it shoots me and I'm dead. And the evil, the darkness, the pain and the hurt, they just come and it just fills my heart. Now, here's the good news. The Bible is the message that evil is conquered by God's love through Jesus Christ. That's the good news. Because that's the message of the Bible. That even though we oftentimes are like a tsunami, just covered by evil, the good news is God rescues us out of that evil. He throws us the boat, the how do you say it? The uaki, the lifeline, the flotation. We're drowning in the tsunami of evil, and God says, here you are. I have you. And he takes us out. And that the name of that uaki, the name of that rescue line, is Jesus Christ. Yeah. All right. Sorry, I'm doing my own translation. Yeah. Okay, so that's the gospel. Okay, we're going to do it in three parts. Okay? We're going to look at the source of love, the direction of love, and then the evidence of love. And I'm telling you right now, this is the hardest one. The evidence that you have love is that you can love your enemies. All right, that's our goal line. But first, we go to the source of love. So Jesus, one of his disciples, his name is John the Evangelist. And he wrote a letter to many churches, and in the letter it says here, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. The one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Okay, give me 2 minutes. This is going to be a little bit kind of a mental exercise, a bit of philosophy, just 2 minutes, and I think it's good for our heart and our soul, okay? Now, I'll say this very carefully. It says God is love, right? That means he's the source of love. Now, how is God love? Now, in Islam, does not have a God of love. Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism is not a God of love. The only God that is love is the God of the Bible. And Pastor Chris, ooh, that sounds like hate speech. You cannot say that the God of Islam and the God of Buddhism is not love. Well, philosophy, just a little bit. What is love? Love is a focus and concentration on the other person. All of my energy and effort and power is to make the other person good, happy, beneficial, blessed. That's love. In Islam, before there was the world or the universe, there was only God. And God is only one. There is no other. And so, if there is no other, there cannot be love. Because love is focusing on the other. So in Islam, God creates the world, the universe, so he can have love. Before that, there's no love. In Buddhism, in Confucianism, in Hinduism, God is just one. And there's no person. God is not a person with will and intention. And so there's no focus, there's no energy to give something. It's just one. But in the God of the Bible, here's what it is. God is one person, but three in one. So in the nature and essence of God, God the Father, from eternity, is focusing his effort and power and energy into God the Son, the other. And God the Son, from all eternity, is focusing his power and will and intention into God the Spirit. And the Son's power is expressed in the Holy Spirit. And so John says in another place, he says, if you have the Spirit of God, you have the Son of God. To have one is to have the other. And the Holy Spirit, from all eternity, it says that his purpose is to give glory and to give honor and power back to the Son, back to the Father. Are we okay so far? And so from the essence and nature of the God of the Bible, there has always been an other person. So there's always the other, always the other, always the other. Therefore, God is love. Right? And what happens in a being that is love? That love overflows. It naturally creates. And so the universe, the world, humanity, it is a natural reflection of the love of God, which is his nature. That's why humans are made to express the love of God. We are made for love because we are made by love, because we are made by God. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay. So that's why God is the source. No God, no love. But you can have feelings, you can have emotions, you can have desire. But please understand, we are made for eternity. We are eternal beings. We are made to last forever. The problem is, by ourselves, without God, we are limited. And so here's what we do. We say, God, thank you. Thank you for the life. Thank you for the education. Thank you for the job. I'll take it from here. And if I need you, I'll call you. Thank you, God. Thank you. And we try to live life without God. That's the problem. And so we try to love, and we try to give, we try to serve, we try to help, but we get tired, we become frustrated, we become angry, and the level of love comes down. And so, God, 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 give me some more love, give me some more love. Okay, okay, and then, thank you, that's enough. That's not how God made us. God made us to be the source. To find our source overflowing from him. So, that's why I underline the word, it says here, abide. Remain. Abide means remain. It means live. Jesus says, live in God. Don't just live away from God. Your whole life is in God because you need love. So stay there. God is with you when you're sleeping, when you're awake, when you're working, when you play, when you study, when you rest. When you leave these double doors and go on the train and go to your home, remain in God. That's what he's saying. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. That's Jesus. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Please notice the word command. It means there is a connection between obedience and love. Access to the Father's love is connected to obedience to Jesus' command. Jesus says, I want you to be full of love. How do you stay full of love? You keep my command. Oh, Jesus, what is your command? What is your command? It says here, a new command I give you. It's covered by the wreath. But Jesus' new command is love one another. How? As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Okay, so now it's the direction of love. And this is just a simple point. A simple point. Jesus says, I'm going to show you how to love each other. Because the way you've tried to love, it has not worked. You see, when Jesus is talking about the commands, somebody asked him, Rabbi Yeshua, what's the greatest command of God? You know, there are 618 commands in the Old Testament. It's called the Torah. About marriage, property, money, children, work. Just a lot of commands. I've read all of them. I read them every year. And there is wisdom and good direction. Oh, it's life-giving. And so God wants to teach us through those commandments. The problem is we have no power by ourselves. The whole point of the commands is say, look, Chris, I gave you this command so that you have power, but you keep stumbling. So, for example, I coach basketball, and Yasuhiro, he was one of my players. He knows. When he first started in Chuichi, okay, it's very bara-bara, chaos. Okay, the first-year basketball players, they just want to grab the ball and throw it into the goal. And then some students, they want to stop them, and they slap them. And if there's five of them, it's like an amoeba. It's just like chaos. It's you can't control it. And so I give them some commands. You, stand over here. You, stand over here. And when he moves, you move. And when he goes, you go. And you work together in coordination. These are my commands. And I give you these commands so that your joy in basketball will be full and overflowing. And they say, and I say, wakatta? And they say, hoi! And I say, okay, go. Bada bada. It's just chaos, you know, everywhere. Blow the whistle. Ah! Stop. Do you remember, Yasuhiro? Yeah, yeah. That's Habakkuk's terrible coaching commands, okay? Yeah. God gave us commands so that we can enjoy life, be filled with joy in every relationship, every part of work. But he says, wakatta? We say, hai. And we go. It's still terrible. So Jesus comes and he says, okay, let me show you. I am God and I will demonstrate. This is how you love. Okay? And then he says, now my new command is this. Follow me. Obey me. Watch me. And see how I do it. And look what it says here. This is from John 15, and it's covered again. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. Jesus commands obedience. So obedience leads to joy. There's a relationship between obedience, joy, and it leads to love. That's the direction of love. The direction of love is through obedience, and through obedience, you find joy. And in the joy, love overflows. Okay, so the last thing is the evidence of love. Okay? All right, now it's the fun part. He says in Luke chapter 6, he's saying, here's something I want you to do. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. And then he continues, love your enemies and do good to them. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. It's easy for me when I come home, I say, tadaima, and my daughter is still 4 years old. Okaeri, and she comes, and she raises her hands, and I pick her up, and we just hug, and we dance. 4 years old. Love is just, that's just love. Father and daughter, okay? Easy. No problem, right? And then there's my 14-year-old. Yeah, I don't tell you his name. You probably know. I come home, okaeri, tadaima. No words. I'll say something. How was school? Did you eat? Did you shower? No. That's our relationship. Is one syllable conversation, right? Yeah. But he's my son, so I'll provide. I'll love, okay? It's easy, right? Yeah. There's my son, and then I have my students. Boy, I have 186 students. Yeah. All right. Open your textbook. Okay. Wake up. Read this out loud. Okay. All right. Now it becomes a little bit more difficult. Right? And Jesus says, love your enemies. They're not my enemies. They're my students. Okay? But they're close. They're close. Okay? Now, all right. So, hey, wake up. Stand up. You know, do your homework. Didn't do your homework? All right. Come talk to me after school. All right? No? All right. So, I'm walking through the hall of my school. My last name is Habakon. Habakon. Good morning. Ohayou gozaimasu. Good morning. Good morning, Bakabon. Bakabon. All right. So, baka, you know, in Japanese, baka, stupid. Right? And they do a kind of dajare. Bakabon. Huh? Right? And I don't know who it is. I know who it is. But I can't do that, right? Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins as I forgive those who sin against me, right? That's my mantra every day. So I call my student. I know who it is. I say, come, sit down. And I say, you know what this is? 何それ? This is my prayer rope. 祈りのロープ。何それ? I make it, and I use it, and I pray for you. I pray for Tanaka-kun, Watanabe-kun, Hasegawa-kun, and I pray each one. Oh, そうなんだ。And I say, this is a present for you. I want you to have this Gambatte. Study. Do your best. Okay?
Okay.
How is your school, how is your hobby? How is club? How is your piano? How is your brother? Doing good? Okay. Talk to you later. Right. Not my enemy, but very close. But Lord, help me to love even those. Okay? Now, you say, "Ah, Pastor Chris, I'm a nice person. I don't have enemies." Great. Good. Do you have someone who frustrates you? Someone who maybe makes you angry? Not an enemy, but someone frustrating. No, 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 Pastor. No, no, I'm easy. I'm very calm and relaxed. No one frustrates me. Okay, okay, okay. Just keep living. Keep going. Someday you will, trust me. You're still young. No one is your enemy. No one frustrates you. How about this? Do you have someone who annoys you? Iraira saseru. Someone, you know, they don't use the toilet right. They always leave the toilet seat down or up, or they don't use the toothpaste right. They squeeze the toothpaste from the middle, not the bottom like they should. Or, you know, the way they talk, the way they eat, I don't know. They're just annoying. If they're not an enemy, someone is there to frustrate you. If there's no one there to frustrate you, I know for a fact someone there annoys you, because we're humans. Jesus says, if you love me, it will be shown when you love them. Not the daughter, not the son, not the student, but your enemy, the one who frustrates, the one who annoys, the one who is against you. So, how does Jesus do this? God did this to us. God shows, demonstrates, has the evidence, demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, took our place so that we, who were the enemy of God, can become the children of God. That's the gospel. We were the enemy of God. Jesus is the Son of God. But Jesus reversed the position so that on the cross, he received the death that we deserve, so that we can receive the life that he has. That is the love of God. Amen? That's the gospel. That's how Jesus loved us. So, we come to the end. What's the end? The end is, I ask you to pray for someone who you do not want to pray for. I ask you to give a gift to someone who cannot repay you. I ask you to be kind and gentle to someone who mistreats you, who gossips against you, speaks against you, and even offends and insults you. Do this as obedient disciples of Jesus Christ. And I promise you, tears. Tears of joy. New life. Your heart will go from darkness to light, from stone to flesh. And you will, here's what you'll do. You will destroy your enemy. How? Abraham Lincoln said, I destroyed my enemy by making him my friend. When my friend becomes when my enemy becomes my friend, no more enemy. Do this because you have Jesus Christ. You have the love of God. God is the source. So you have an endless resource of kindness, gentleness, love, patience, good. Yeah, that's all here. All of it's here. Patient, love, patient, kind, no envy, no pride, no dishonor. Yeah, it's all from God. You'll have it. You'll have it. All right, so let's pray, and we'll close the service. Our Heavenly Father, fill us with your love once more. Help us to be kind and patient, gentle, and forgiving to our enemies, to those who frustrate and annoy us. And let us have the joy that comes from obedience. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.